Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now a call in for women or men who have successfully returned to work after taking a large number of years off to stay home with your children or take care of an aging parent. 212-433-WNYC. Or if you're trying to go back to work after a long time off and you're having trouble even getting an interview with that big gap on your resume, also give us a call. 212-433-9692. Let us know how you did it, if you were able to go back to work. Let us know what the obstacles are. If you're having trouble with it, 212-433-WNYC. We bring it up now because the New York Times and some other outlets are reporting right now on programs created by big banks and law firms that help some of their former women employees return to work, or at least women in those fields. These, of course, are highly selective reentry programs for women who left executive-level jobs at places like J.P. Morgan or Goldman Sachs, and they function like a condensed advanced internship. The participants hope to get a job at the end of it. They're not getting paid at first, as I understand it. But have you done something like this, whether at a big bank or law firm or at another kind of company? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. There was a 2009 survey of high-achieving women by the Center for Work-Life Innovation that found that 31% voluntarily left the workforce between 2004 and 2009. That's just before the recession, primarily to stay home with children. Many of the women surveyed said they wanted to return to work after a few years, but less than half were able to find a good full-time job. So does this sound like you? And then there's the TV show The Good Wife, you know, the main character. Elise Florrick goes back to work as a lawyer when her husband, who was the state's attorney, goes to jail after a sex and corruption scandal. Here's a clip from the first season of the show.
Not only are you coming back to the workplace fairly late, but you have some very prominent baggage.
Last time I was in court was 13 years ago. I was 12.
Last time I was in court was 13 years ago. And while it was probably easier for the fictional Alicia to get a new job after more than a decade at home because of her prominent husband, despite the baggage he brought, she has her struggles on the career ladder at the firm. So are you a lawyer maybe who took time off and then managed to make it back into a high-powered law firm? How'd you do it? Give us a call. And how about, as one commenter on the Times site wrote the other day, the 99% who want to go back to work, meaning not just people from banking and law. What about you teachers, librarians, nurses, doctors, people in advertising, tech, or in the nonprofit sector? Are there similar programs in any of these industries? 212-433-9692. So about your return or attempt to return to work again after more than just a few years off, call and tell us your stories at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We'll put you on the air right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now to your stories of taking more than a few years off from the workplace and trying to get back in. Bonnie in Syosset, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. I'm so excited to speak about this topic. This is very meaningful to me. I left the economic workforce in 2002, and last night attended Judith Shulevitz's presentation at the JCC in Manhattan about older fathers and their impact on the health of children. And, of course, that conversation devolved into a discussion about why women are postponing work and the lack of credible child care in the United States, et cetera, et cetera. And I was one of those people. So I had my children later in life. I already had my law degree, and I continued working. I left the workforce and returned part-time and then left again in 2003. because one of my children presented with some baffling challenges that turned out to be non-visible brain-based disabilities, mm-hmm. and I was confronted with dealing with the special education system, crying for 2 years. I decided I needed to explore the statute, the Individuals with Disability in Education Act, from an academic perspective, and I've just completed my LLM over at Cardozo Law School. Huh. So I added on a credential. And in the interim, I engaged in what I felt was meaningful skill-building volunteer work. So I learned about grant writing and giving grants. I sat on a foundation giving grants. That experience hasn't been taken very seriously by some employers, but is taken, you know, depends on who your audience is. I have been interviewing for positions, and I am currently in the midst of finalizing steps to join a firm to help other families negotiate the mire that is special education law. But I actually had someone in the course of the interview process comment on the gap in my resume, and this is someone who focuses on helping families, and I looked at him and said, you can't be serious. You know, I was running to doctors. I was learning about neuroscience. I was learning about the law. I was running all over the place with this child, panicking. I've known many other. My sister went and got a degree, and as I'm thinking about this, the women I know who have successfully reentered the workforce have gotten some additional credential that helps them. But it is difficult. It's not easy.
And so that's the moral of your story in terms of how it might help others, and everybody's story is so particular, and, you know, I hear what you're saying about your child with special needs and everything. A new credential just before you're trying to get back might help.
Absolutely. Yeah, it might help. It might help. And then you have to get a little lucky and you have to be a little aggressive. But I think women are going to change the economy, because if you can't get the credential or you don't, you have to start being creative and thinking out of the box and working part-time and just doing something.
Yep. Bonnie, thank you so much. Good luck. Stephanie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. So my story is somewhat similar to hers, and I did actually get creative and think outside the box. So I took 18 years out of, you know, the traditional paid workforce, during which I did the traditional, you know, mom, PTA, and other community activities. And then a couple of years ago, I decided I wanted to get back in some way. So I found a really great part-time job on Craigslist. I worked for a not-for-profit involving schools, and I really enjoyed that. But when it seemed to be that it was sort of becoming routine and I was not being put to my highest and best use and I wanted to do something else, I did briefly consider the program at PACE that was written about in the Times the other day. I'm an attorney also by training. Mm-hmm. And then decided after some soul searching, I really did not want to go back to that. So I, based on an experience, you know, my family had had when, you know, one of my kids was struggling in high school, and I had to learn an awful lot about therapeutic treatments out of home and therapies that most people, you know, don't ever come across, like wilderness therapy and therapeutic boarding schools. I decided that I would also help other families, and I set up my own consulting practice. And now I am the one who people can call, you know, when they need help. And I spent a lot of time, I educated myself, you know, there, I will get some, you know, official training for, you know, independent consultants, but mostly it's about educating myself, learning about programs and getting background,
right,
and getting some clinical background.
And so rather than go back for a job where you're on somebody's payroll, if I
exactly
understand you correctly, you're setting yourself up as an independent consultant.
Exactly. So I did the 2 years. I worked part-time. I was on their schedule. It was their rules, their, you know, their rubric. It was about hiring teachers, and, you know, I had to do it their way, which, you know, that was fine. That was one way to do it. But as I was doing that, I realized I wanted to be the one, you know, making the decisions and thinking and helping people make their decisions. I just wanted to be more in control, and I felt like this was a better way for me to use my skills. And
after so many years away, you need to somehow convince your potential clients that you're the one who has the knowledge to be their consultant and
correct
help them do
that's
whatever
true
they're doing.
That's true. But having been through it myself, that, you know, is something as a parent, I think
yes
a lot of parents really
yes
can connect to.
Because of the content of what you're consulting
exactly
on.
Yeah, that doesn't go for everything,
yes.
But in my field, it is very valuable to have been through it. And when I look at programs and when I consider options for other families, I really look at it from the perspective of, would this be appropriate, you know, would I accept this for my child? So I know, you know, I have a great starting point for that.
Stephanie, thank you. Good luck. Sharon, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Well, I did this quite some time ago, but I think my lessons are pertinent to today. I had a degree in French. I taught French in an inner-city New York City high school, and then nighttime at a college in Pennsylvania while my husband was of the age where women followed their husbands while they pursued their degrees. I stayed home for 12 years, raised two children, and during that time, I decided to make use of a local community college. And I can't say enough about retraining at perhaps a lower level because it's not a four-year college. And I thought I would learn Portuguese, and they didn't have it. So I saw basic, a language. So I said, hey, maybe the skills transfer.
The programming language, basic?
Yes, yes, but this was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, it's not Portuguese, I'll do basic, you know, fully understanding it was a programming language.
Of course, and there are probably more jobs in the New York area for people who know basic than for people who know Portuguese.
But this was a while ago. It was at the beginning. There weren't even many women in this field.
Yes.
And I got a degree in programming languages. And then I had a child with difficulties also, so I said I'll take any job 5 minutes from my home, which was a government job. I made the sacrifice of salary and prestige so that I could raise my children and be available for medical emergencies.
It's so interesting that the first three callers who we've taken, through no particular intent, have all had children with special needs that contributed to being out of the economic workforce for as long as you were. And another little pattern that's emerging already from you and the first caller is that you went back for, I guess maybe all three of you, that you went back for some kind of formal retraining and formal credential, in your case, community college.
And in my case, I mean, I took away the snobism. It was community college, not an Ivy League college or something else, but it was fantastic. Because it was actually technical training.
Yes.
And the plus side of this, I must tell you, because this was a while ago, was I had a 25-year career in computer science, finally worked up to a very good salary, although I took a terrible salary at the beginning, but I had to be near my child. But because I was doing all this computer work, my children got interested in computers. And now I have a daughter who's a graphic artist and a son who got a PhD in computer science.
That's great.
It motivated them.
Great story, Sharon. Thank you for sharing it with us. I think that's an inspiration to a lot of people. And Carl in Bayside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carl.
Hey. Back in the 90s, I had a real good job as an attorney with one of the big law firms in New York, and I was handling mostly real estate cases, handling people who owned properties and were trying to really screw over tenants and stuff like that. After 5 years, I just couldn't take it anymore, and I quit. And at the time, I had a young child at home, a young boy, and I homeschooled him for 6 years while my wife, who was a nurse, went back to work and she paid the bills. After he was homeschooled and I was really getting bored at home, I went back to Manhattan, tried to get a job in one of the law firms, one of the big law firms again. And on one of the interviews, I had a snooty partner look down his nose at me and tell me I threw away the six best years of my life and it was a worthless attorney to anybody out there.
Ooh, yeah, there is a snooty partner.
I kind of like left, went back, and I got a job working for a reputable law firm in Queens. And a couple of years down the road, well, at this time I was handling real estate also. And I went to got a case one day, saw who the law firm was, and it was the company that turned me down. And lo and behold, we had a meeting, and who was the guy who I was up against?
No, not that same snooty partner.
Same snooty guy. We took him to court, and we beat his pants off. And then 2 years later, the same thing happened. We took him to court, beat his pants off.
That must have felt good.
We went up against him again, and he dropped out and handed the case off to a junior person.
The moral of the story?
The moral of the story is there's more than one way to skin a cat, okay? And you can always get back into it, okay? It's sometimes you have to take a financial hit. Maybe you got to take a shot in the nose, and you know, you're not as big as you thought you were, but you can always make it back. And the people up there who are looking down their nose at you, they're nothing.
Carl, thank you. Great story and an inspiration, perhaps, to Kalalia in Bergen County. Kalalia, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi,
Brian. Thank you for taking my call. Great show.
You're so welcome.
You know, if you believe you sense an accent, you're correct. I'm originally Italian, but I do have an American citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wasn't going to check your immigration status.
No, but, you know, because of your program just today, I felt I would be clear about that.
Because we talked about that issue earlier, right?
Earlier, exactly. I am a musician, and I have been out of the workforce for 10 years because my husband and I had decided that that would be the best thing to raise a family like that. I have a daughter. She is a very talented child, and in a way, I also thought about her in taking off from work because I wanted to devote more time to her talent. She has played violin at very high level. Anyway, I'm going through a divorce now. And the reason why I need to go back at the job is because there are many things you cannot do in life without a steady paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And my light jobs as a piano teacher or as a singer right now are not enough for me to obtain those things that I need a paycheck for. I have been trying for over a year to send a lot of resumes. Before I left the workforce, I work at the best private schools in the city. I don't know if you want me to make names.
No, you don't need to, but as a music teacher?
Yes, as a music teacher, and I have a very, very strong resume. But somehow, in the last year, I should say I am 51, and I don't know if that comes into play, but...
Do you think your gap comes into play, this 10 years out of the workforce? Are you getting the sense that even for a music teacher, where presumably if you have good teaching skills and, you know, you've kept up your musicianship...
Absolutely.
...that your skills wouldn't become out of date like they might in a technology firm or something like that? That even in that field, that there's a problem for you because of your 10 years away?
Brian, to tell you the truth, I do not know what the reason is because, unfortunately, I do not even get a courtesy call back from sending the resumes. And there is not, I haven't gone as far as getting an interview with anybody. And considering how, I mean, I have a postgraduate degree. And I have a very, very strong resume. I have no clue of what the reason could be.
What do you teach, by the way? Do you teach a particular instrument, or what do you teach in music?
I teach piano, and I have an education degree and a degree also in piano performance. I have conducted choruses, so I also have that in my resume. And you know, on top of all that, I have an international certificate in Dalcroze Eurythmics, which is one of the methodologies, like ORF and Kodai, to teach music. And I have this very, very valuable international certificate.
So, Kalaya, I got to go, but listeners, anybody need a piano teacher and Dalcroze teacher for full or part-time work? Post it on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And maybe Kalalia will get in touch with you. Kalalia, we're going to leave it
there. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Check back with WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show later. And, you know, you never know. And be careful who you contact out there who just leaves contact information because you don't really know who they are. But WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Maybe we can make a match. One more call. And maybe with some advice for Kalalia, Alyssa in Stanford. You're on WNYC. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm so glad that you're covering this area because I'm just starting the process of going through this at the moment. I'm 56. I worked for many years in marketing before I had children. I have an MBA from a major university, and I worked in corporate America for many years at a lot of big banks and things like that. When my kids reached about 3 years old, I had three kids under three. I found that it was just too difficult for me in traveling and trying to coordinate with my husband's schedule because he was also traveling. So I pulled myself out of the workforce for a number of years. And I did a lot of volunteering. I volunteered at my kids' school, I volunteered at my temple, and I volunteered at other kind of nonprofit organizations to build up my skill base.
And that's a classic way back in with volunteering. And I'm going to rush you a little bit because we're running out of time. And I understand that you're involved with a group that helps other women get back and relaunch after a long time out. Is that correct?
Yes, it's called I Relaunch, and it's done by two Harvard MBA women who had the same difficulty as many other women. And they have helped women network. They help women get together and go over resumes and get relaunch you back into the workforce.
How can people get in touch?
I recently had an interview with Credit Suisse through them. And one of the issues I had there, I will say this quickly, is that I had a girl interviewing me who was 23 and clearly had no kind of understanding of the kind of issues that we were going through. And that's a frustration that I'm finding, is that going through the initial interviews are great, but you're getting these young kids who are interviewing you having no understanding of your background, and then having to decide whether I want to go back into corporate America and having to work for a much younger boss. So that's something that, you know, that I would consider. But I Relaunch is a great organization, and they work for women and also men who have been out for a long time.
Alyssa, thank you very much. Good luck to you out there. And listeners, if you want to support each other in this newly forming group of people who've been out of the workforce for a long time, trying to get back in, go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show, and thanks for your calls on this. I think a lot of people have learned a lot.